Sorry.
I think there's nothing better in life. This has not been able to press record yet. Than to be able to say. I'm going to read from 1 John 3, verse 18. Let's continue on from last week. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and we receive from him everything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is what his command is, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, to love one another as he commanded. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Okay, now I started last week by saying this. Another sermon about love. We seem to be doing that all the time lately. That's because, actually, it's the heart of Christian living and we can't get to the bottom of it, can we? When you finish loving everybody you know, then you can go on to new things, okay? That's a joke, sort of. Actions, he said, let us not love with words or tongue, and we said this last week, but with actions and in truth. You know whether someone loves you not by their words, but by their actions. That's true, isn't it? And actions flow from a changed heart. When your heart is changed, you love. So the command is both a command, but it's a command that is a fact that's happened to you when you've come to trust in Jesus. Now, that's last week. If you want to know more about that, you've got to read that last week. This then, in verse 19, he says, is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. How we set our hearts at rest, or how we persuade our hearts, or we convince our hearts. You see, our hearts bear witness to something that's true. Do you know when you're a fake? We had a men's night the other night, and at the end of the night, an older gentleman came up to me and he said, that was a very good night. He said, I think I'm a fraud. That's a bit of a sad thing to say, but let me just encourage you by saying, no one who thinks they're a fraud is probably a fraud. But do your hearts condemn you? And the answer is, yeah, sometimes they do. Do you think you're a fake? Do you think you just, you know, putting on love? Just acting it out? Just doing it as a show? Or is it real and from the heart? Our hearts bear witness to the truth of God in us. Okay? And we have assurance because there's this miracle that happens in us. And this miracle is that God's changed our hearts. He's made us his children. He's changing us to the image of Jesus. Now, it's all theological. But the guts of that is to say at the end of the day, we end up loving people from the heart. As though it's very much part of us. Like, it is, we actually have a desire to love people. And when we do, our hearts, what does it say? Rest in his presence. Our hearts persuade us. Our hearts reassure us. Depends what Bible version you've got. And we live in love. We don't live, and I know it's a buzzword, by the flesh. We don't live by the sinful nature, which means this. We don't live selfishly. We live for other people. We put others above ourselves. It's not for our glory. We are not on about ourselves. That's what happens when we're in Christ. Because when we are on about ourselves, when we're selfish, our hearts condemn us. Do you know that feeling? When you know what you should do, you don't do it, and then you feel that kind of, it feels like your heart shrivels up. You know that feeling? I'm the only one. I'm the only selfish one here, probably. No, and Sue, thanks Sue for being selfish too. When we don't live as we should, our hearts condemn us, and we actually enter into a bit of a turmoil. Because immediately that heart shrivels, we have to do some self-justification, some self-righteousness. We're sitting there on the couch. I'm not helping Jodie as I should. I know what I should do. I know how I should love. I don't do it. My heart shrivels, and then I go, yeah, but you've had a really hard day. You poor thing. If Jodie only knew what a hard day I've had. Suddenly it's her fault that I'm a lazy whatever. Do you understand? Our hearts defend. In fact, then we can get quite... When you're in the moment of self-justification and self-righteousness, you actually get angry with other people. Because our heart is condemning us. And when that condemnation, that turmoil happens inside, we get riled. There's something going on. We're lovers of self. And we know it's wrong. And so when that's exposed, when that's highlighted, we have to prove to others that we're actually all right. So it's our heart that's condemning us. Now, which heart condemns us? The new heart we've been given. The new heart of flesh, not the heart of stone. The heart that beats with the Holy Spirit. The heart that longs to live in love. The heart that is who we are. I said last week, we've got to act as we truly are. It's not about becoming somebody different. You have been made a child of God. You have been given everything you need to live in love. So do that. Go with that flow. And live in the peace and the joy and the assurance and the rest. Because when you do walk with the Spirit, when you do live in love, when you do just have... It's simply this. Do you know it feels good to love one another? It does, doesn't it? When you actually truly, selflessly love another person, it's a good feeling. It might be hard work. It might take you out of yourself. You might have to leave yourself behind. But it's a good thing to do. And when you do, you have an assurance. You know who you are. It feels right better than good. It just, I am living as I'm supposed to live. It feels good to love one another. It's a good thing to do. If you spend your time loving one another, you'll actually have less doubts. It just happens. When you don't love the world and with its pride and its lust, when you don't lust after the things that other people have want and the other people desire, then you actually love the things that God loves and you love one another, you live with assurance. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is really a simple passage, actually, although it's complex to understand. In verse 19 he says this, "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything." God knows everything. Now that can be scary because you go, do you know God knows the inner motives of your heart? Yeah, that's bad. And he knows every thought. Ouch, you know. But you see, it's more than that though. He knows everything about himself. So he knows everything about his promises. He knows everything about who you are in Christ. So when you are in Christ, he knows at any moment, he knows what's in your heart, but he looks at you and he sees you in Christ and he knows all his promises and he knows you're his and he loves you. And he says, this is my child. Can you see it's a good thing that he knows everything? He knows about the finished work of Christ at every moment over our lives. He knows about his grace and his mercy. Every aspect of his truth is always before him, and his opinion is the only one that counts. So what John's saying here is similar to what Paul says in Romans 7, where he lays out sin. Then he says, therefore there's no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. In other words, when your heart condemns you, your heart's not worth anything. It doesn't know what it's on about. Your heart's wrong. Because you're in Christ, you've been perfected, you are new. The Holy Spirit brings you the fact that we belong to God. God is greater than our hearts. Put simply, our hearts are wrong. When it's our old heart, that heart of stone. If your heart condemns you, but you're in Christ, your heart is wrong. Can you hear that? Okay. All of this is saying, like, if everything went by our feelings, how often would you be a Christian? Do you always feel like you're a Christian loved by God? No. It's more about the fact, isn't it? The fact is, you've been saved by God. The fact is, you belong to Him. So when your heart condemns you, your heart can be wrong. So in other words, if you take this the wrong way, you'll go, so I have to be loving others to prove to myself that I'm really a Christian. And if I stop loving other people, then I'm in trouble. God won't. But you see, there is a fact of what God has done. There is a fact that He loves us. And when we live in accordance with that, we live with joy. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? We just live with joy. We have a great confidence because we're living the way we're designed to live. And it's good. It's good to live in love. It's good to love one another. So verse 21, he says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we're living the way we're supposed to. We have confidence before God, and we receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what He pleases. So when we do live in love, when we do live as we're supposed to live, when our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God. We have confidence in our relationship with God. We don't have guilt. You ever, if you're in a relationship with another person, whatever it is, and you've done something wrong but they don't know, so you're the only one that knows you've done something wrong. Does it affect your relationship? It does. It affects the way you act towards them. You either schmooze up to them, you hold back from them. There's all this stuff going on in your mind. You don't have the confidence in a relationship. You don't have a boldness with the other person. But when your heart doesn't condemn you, you actually just, you live with them fully, don't you? You live in the peace of it. It's a good thing. When you have confidence in a relationship with God, you pray. Actually, more likely to pray. Because when you don't have that confidence, when you think you're wrong, when you haven't been doing what you're supposed to do, you pull back from prayer, or you do pray, but you pray in a weird sort of way, where you're trying to either to suck up to God, to make Him impressed by you, or you're trying to act all humble and woe is me, or whatever. It's just messy, as it is with any relationship. But when you're confident in your relationship with God, you have boldness to ask, to pray, to make requests, because you just know that it's all right. Does this ring true to you? Yep. I'll say it again, this is not works doctrine. This is not saying you'll make yourself right with God by your actions and by love. It's not even saying this is how you maintain your relationship with God. We actually live from faith to faith. We started with faith, we walk by faith, everything we do is by faith. But it's talking about the confidence we have just simply in the Christian life. It's talking about living with God. It's a good thing to love one another and to live, because you live right with God. Everything's good. And you don't pray selfish prayers anymore, because you pray in accordance to what's central to your life, what's best. So you don't, you know, so often we get bound up when we're in selfishness to pray selfish prayers, to pray stuff about me all the time. But when your life is lived for the love of one another, you actually end up praying for them. You're putting yourself aside. You don't pray selfish prayers because that comes from the love of the world. You pray in accordance with the desire that is in your heart. The desire He puts in your heart. I've heard this verse from Psalm 37. It says, verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, my desire is for, well, actually, it's for an XR8. It's fountain, really. Is that what it's talking about? My desire is to be rich and successful all the time and have a pretty much a life of ease. Is that what it's talking about? Or is it talking about God is going to fulfill all my dreams? Everything I ever wanted is just going to come to me because I trust in the Lord. If I delight myself in him. It's actually saying this. It's not about your desires. It's saying this because otherwise, you see, trusting God would mean that God brings the ultimate fulfillment of the world with all its prides and its lusts and everything else. It's like you got this lust in the world where you want more and you want more, and then you become a Christian and God just gives it all to you. That's crazy talk, isn't it? What it's saying is this: God gives you the desires in your heart. He gives you desires for his good things. He gives you desires to love one another. He gives you desires to serve, to put others before yourself. And then he answers those desires, and as you live them out, you live with joy, and it's a good life. Does that make sense? It's a good thing. He puts good desires in our hearts. So you would find, if you're a Christian, you just have this thing in your heart that goes out to other people. You just, for some reason, you just want to give and serve. And when you go along with that, it feels great. Because you're living as you're supposed to live. When you don't do that, your heart condemns you. But that doesn't mean you're not a Christian anymore. It just means you know what you should do. Am I making sense? Good. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him. Now, so we're receiving and we're asking because we're obeying his commands, we're doing what pleases him. What is his command? To believe in the name of the Son Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commanded. It's pretty basic stuff here, isn't it? Yep. Have faith in Jesus Christ and love one another. John says this stuff all the time because it's actually everything. I know we can complicate things. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Love one another. Yep, there's our life. And it's our joy because it's living out of the desires that the Holy Spirit puts in us, and we ask and we receive and it flows from our faith, and it all comes from Jesus Christ. And it leads to prayer, and it leads to answered prayer. Because when we pray in accordance with his will, our prayers are answered. In other words, when I pray in accordance with my will, my prayers aren't always answered. Is that true? Do you ever pray for stuff that he knows all about you? Yeah. See, in 1 John 5:13, and we're going to come to this later on, but he says this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. So we have confidence approaching God through Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whenever we ask, we know that we have what we have already asked for. In other words, we have confidence because we approach God through Jesus Christ, and we ask according to his will, his desires, which he's put in our hearts, and he answers those prayers. And it's good. Because we've had a heart transplant. Which means a heart transplant, sorry. If you're from Queensland. We've had a heart transplant. It's a new heart. But when you have a heart transplant, you've had a will transplant. Your will has been changed. Your will is for his will. You want to do what he wants you to do. You love what he loves. Your peace comes from his peace. Your joy comes from him. Can you understand that? You have been so changed that you do something which is just so opposite to nearly every other person in this world. You want to love them. You want to do something for them. You want to put them first. Because she is a caterpillar pyramid out there. You know what a caterpillar pyramid is? It's like, can you imagine a pyramid this high, which is just solid caterpillars? And what every one of those caterpillars is trying to wriggle to the top. There's only can be one at the top. And when it's got five underneath it that are pulling it down, it doesn't stay on the top for long. And another one gets up, another one gets up. Because everybody is looking to their own glory, for their own self. Just everything about them. And then this strange thing happens where God gives us a new heart and we desire something which is just radical. We desire the good of others. We've had a will transplant. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know by the Spirit that he gave us. It's all confirmed by the Holy Spirit, who lives in our hearts, who's informing our hearts, who's leading us actually in prayer, how to pray. Romans 8 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit lives in us and leads us to pray. It's not just that the Holy Spirit wants us to achieve and live this superpowered boost life, like you can get that from drinking those, what are those drinks? V8 and, yeah, what are they?
V.
V or whatever, all those cool drinks. I mean, you just charge and you get the Holy Spirit and you just charge. Everything's great. The Holy Spirit gives you power to do something opposite to that. Well, not the opposite, it doesn't make you all dull and dreary. But he gives you the power not for all about yourself, but the power to actually live a life for others. To love them, to pray for them. He gives you the power to live as Christ lived. He gives you the power to pray as Christ prayed. To love as Christ loved. And to live in confidence and boldness, in joy and peace. Dear friends, love one another. Just as Christ has loved you. I'm going to pray. Father, we hear this message again and of love, and we remember the way that you've loved us. The way that you served us and you put us above yourself. The way that you took our sins and you gave us your righteousness. When we remember that, Father, we are so thankful. We're thankful for your love for us. And Father, I pray that you would make us people who truly love one another. I pray that whenever we take on the loves of the world, whenever we look to our own needs above others, whenever we look to our own glory, that you would highlight that. And Father, that our hearts would condemn us. And that we'd put that aside. And Father, that we could just go back to the simple and the true. To loving your Son, having faith in him, and loving one another, and living in all of the fullness that you have for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name.